really wrestled with what to preach on this morning when I became a Christian, started going to church regularly. I remember Mother's Day would roll around, and I remember sitting in the pew oftentimes thinking, great, this is not for me. I'm not a mom. And, I hope everybody else, all the mothers are blessed by this, but, man, there's nothing for me. And I started looking around at some of the guys that I knew, and I was have the impression they probably thought the same thing. Great, it's Mother's Day. There's nothing here for me. And yet I believe that moms need encouragement. I believe that our mothers, man, they need encouragement, exhortation, admonishment from the Scriptures. And yet I believe we can do that at the same time as not excluding or negating the rest of the people that are here, the ladies who are who are not mothers, who are wanting to be mothers, or the men that are here, or the fathers, or the young men, that there's something that we can all receive. And so trying to do that is easier said than done. And so that is going to be my attempt this morning, is to encourage our mothers as well as give a word for every other individual in this room today. I want to talk about the subject of heroes. Because when I think about my mom, and I think about some of the mothers in our church, the word hero comes to my mind. I remember as a young boy in the early 80s, there was a movie with a soundtrack, and the lead singer was Tina Turner. And she sang the song, "We Don't Need Another Hero." I remember even as a young boy hearing that, thinking, that's kind of weird. What do you mean we don't need another hero? No matter which generation you live in, we never have too many heroes, do we? We always need another hero. And yet here was a song, and it was kind of, dramatic. We don't need another hero, hero, hero. You remember the song? And I remember thinking, that's just odd. Because I would think we do need more heroes. You see, I grew up in a time where heroes, that was the thing. And maybe that's part of my development, my psyche. I've always had heroes, people I've looked up to, people I've lifted up, rightfully or wrongfully so. And I said, there's a characteristic in that person's life I want to model my life after. I remember the hero of Superman. I grew up watching Superman. Some of my friends, I wasn't very much into comic books, but my friends, some of them collected comic books, the Superman comic books. Man, that's a big deal. Is it very ironic this week as we were over in Atlanta for the Orange Conference? We were at the motel one night. We were flipping through channels, and here it was, and Jen and Emma, Noah's about to be put down, and all of a sudden it comes on. Maybe it must have been one of these classic stations, but Superman, the movie, was on. I mean, the old Superman, not the new Superman, not small town. I'm talking old school Superman. Clark Kent. Christopher Reeves. And I remember thinking, I watched this as a boy. It's been forever since I have seen that version of Superman. And Emma, she says, "Daddy, what's that?" I said, "Oh, Emma, that's Superman. Your mom and your daddy, we grew up watching this. He's a hero." And we sat down there and we watched some of Superman. But that wasn't the only hero. Y'all remember, again, early 80s, there was the greatest American hero. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. Remember? I never thought I could be. You get the point. Anyways, remember the guy? He was a hero. And remember his one Achilles heel? He forgot or did not have the instructions on how to land. He can get up there. He just didn't know how to land. And so he was kind of comical. But he was the guy who came to save the day. But he was, fumbling all over himself when it came to landing. Always a crash landing. I remember that came on Sunday nights. It was always kind of exciting to watch it. But it was always sad when it was over because I knew it was bedtime. The next day was school. Monday was coming around. And even early on, I dreaded Monday mornings. Now we have, seems like, fewer heroes. But we still have some heroes. Does the name Jack Bauer cause any type of emotion in anybody? Man, that's a modern-day hero. Now you say, well, these people, they're just make-believe. And you're right, they are make-believe. But I'm just telling you, let's just, let you know what goes on inside Matt Taylor's mind. I go to bed at night, sleep a little better, thinking that there are people out there like Jack Bauer, and they are for us. I just appreciate that. That makes me a little bit more confident in life. Thinking that there are indeed some characters. Somebody must have inspired somebody to put together Jack Bauer, Kiefer Sutherland, to play that role, there must be somebody on our team like that. Here's somebody who's simply a hero, and he comes to save the day. So think to yourself. We have our different descriptions of what a hero looks like. But how do you define a hero? How do you define a hero? There are certain characteristics of being a hero that you'll find in everyone that you might choose. And I believe Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, 4, and 5 will show you the commonality of a specific characteristic that you'll find throughout all of yours and mine, those people we call heroes. It's this ability to live selflessly. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." Verse 5, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I just read to you, that portion of Scripture, I believe that typifies a hero. You show me somebody who lives that kind of life, where they're not looking out for their own interests, but the interests of others. You show me somebody who does nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but considers others better than themselves. I will show you, ladies and gentlemen, a hero. That's how the Bible defines it. I'd like for you to see in our First Baptist way how we would describe it. So if you point your attention up here to the big screen. You know what? Anybody can be a hero. It doesn't take a mom to be a hero, but I'm just telling you, there are many mothers that fit that description. They live a life that's unselfish. They live it for the sake and the betterment of somebody else. But I want to share with you today that this idea of being a hero, it's not just reserved for mothers. Even though what you just saw, those are people that we say they are heroes to us. But I want to let you know, there's a hero. Excuse the cliche, but there's a hero in you if you live by choice. And I want us to look at that, what that means. Verse 3, the Bible says here, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit." How does one live like a hero? How am I to be a hero for somebody else? Very clearly, very plainly, live unselfishly. You know, that does not come naturally. It does not come naturally to think about somebody else before yourself. Let me tell you what is very natural, very normal, very earthly, and yet very carnal. It's putting yourself first. You've heard the expression, "I'm going to look out after number one." Well, who do we normally define as number one? Me, you, us. There was a song a few years ago I thought it was very, very comical. I think it was the first rap song in country music. Toby Keith, he said, I like talking about you, 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 you usually, but occasionally, I like to talk about me. I want to talk about me, want to talk about my, want to talk about number one, me, my, mine. What I think, what I like, what I want, what I see. I like talking about you, 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 you usually, but occasionally, I want to talk about me. That's just normal, is it not? We just like to talk about us. We like life from our perspective. We sometimes buy into the erroneous thought. We are number one. If you buy into that, and to the degree that you live by that, to that degree, you'll never experience what it means to be a hero, and other people will miss out. Selfless living. It is a supernatural ability to not just think less of yourself, but to not think of yourself at all. To put somebody else's benefit, somebody else's welfare, somebody else as more important than yourself. And that does not come naturally. You need the supernatural help of God to do that in your life on a consistent basis. Selfishness gets us into a lot of trouble. You know, the Bible says over there in James chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible asks the question. James says, "What is the source of quarrels amongst you?" What he's saying is, hey, why do you fight? Why do we fight? Why do we quarrel? Why do we spat? Why do we fight with one another? He goes on to answer the question. He says, "Is it not your lust that wage war within your members?" You see, these members, your members, they have want-tos. And they are strong. And I taught you the Greek word, like you care, but I taught it to you nonetheless. Epithumia. It is the strong desire. Remember when I told you your epithumias will do? Your epithumias, they will lie to you. They will say, you do it, you'll feel better. Say it, you'll be relieved. Go this direction, prove yourself, and you'll be glad you did. Your epithumias, every time, if you obey them, those strong lusts, they'll deceive you, and you'll find yourself at the end wanting. What is the source of quarrels among you? Is it not your lust? Is it not your selfishness? You show me somebody. You show me a relationship that is at odds with one another. I will show you either one or two that are choosing to place themselves above the other. The Bible says over there in James chapter 3, verse 16, same book, different chapter. James says, where there is jealousy or selfish ambition, there is confusion, disorder, and every evil thing. Again, show me a relationship where there's confusion. Show me an organization where there is disorder. Show me relationships where there is evil, confusion, disorder. I will show you, according to James chapter 3, verse 16, either jealousy or selfish ambition. The Bible says, do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit. Don't do anything. What category does that fall into? Every category. Do nothing. But what does that look like? What does it look like to live totally unselfishly? A couple of examples come to my mind. After 9/11, there's billboards all over Charleston about 9/11. And this one, I'll never forget, is a fireman. And he was just caked in that dust, in that grayness of all that debris that fell from that tower. His mustache was this thick with it. And he just looked at that man and he just like, man, how can you breathe? And the caption read, when others rushed out, he rushed in. Ladies and gentlemen, that's selfless. That's selflessness. That's what it looks like to live selflessly. That is a supernatural selflessness. And that's a hero. What does a hero look like? Not only a guy on the billboard, but some of you fit that description pretty well. There's mothers in here, and you have, from time to time after time, you have put the needs of your children before your own desires. And listen, you've gone even beyond that. Many times you put your own the desires of your children ahead of your own desires. You cease to live as you used to live when you became a mom. My wife, she explains motherhood like this. She says, man, it's like carrying your heart outside of your chest. I thought to myself, that's a pretty good description of motherhood. You're just vulnerable. You want to do everything that you can to protect your child. You want to do everything that you can to love your children and to provide for your children. But you understand you're human and there is a limit to what you can do because you're not God. And so there is that sense of vulnerability. And yet, knowing that, you try as you might to try to do everything that you can to protect, to provide, to give, and to bless. And there are countless mothers here who fit that description. I tell you, a real special place in my heart this morning is single moms. You, ma'am, you're a hero. You don't have the help of dad. You don't get a break. You don't get a relief when dad comes home where you can give the child, you can give the baby, you can give the children to somebody else that loves them just the same, that will give them the same attention. You wake up early in the morning, not only getting ready for work, but getting the kids ready for school. You send them off. You go work yourself tirelessly, you come home where everybody else might be taking off their cap and resting. You don't get that break. It's time to cook dinner. It's time to do homework. It's time to read stories. It's time to play games. It's time to have bedtime prayers. And you fall asleep in exhaustion only to wake up the very next morning and do the same thing all over again. You're a single mom this morning. I just want to let you know, I salute you. You got the utmost respect from us. You're a hero. Selfless living. When you find it, You have found something significant. You found something special. You found something supernatural. You have found, ladies and gentlemen, a hero. Well, this type of life is one by choice. The Bible says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each one of you regard one another as more important than himself. That term, let each one of you regard, that's a choice, not a feeling. That's a choice. You have to voluntarily choose humility. Humility says, I am going to consider you and what you need and what you want above what I need and what I want. Your feelings will never lead you to do that. It's a conscious choice. But I tell you this, those who practice this and live this way on a normal pattern, it might have been harder in the beginning, but you might be able to say, through time, through pattern, thinking, and living, you almost do what you do without even thinking. And here's something else I know about heroes, with that being said. Many people who are heroes have no clue that they are one. Someone would tell you, you know what, you're my hero. You would be the last person to think that you ever would be considered by somebody else as a hero. That's just another characteristic. Because, see, humility, you're not thinking about how you're going to get from this. You're not thinking, I'm going to do this so I can get this reward. Humility says, I'm going to do this simply for the sake of you and your good, with no strings attached, even if nothing comes back in return for me. That, ladies and gentlemen, uncanny, unnatural, and it takes the supernatural power of God for you and for me to live on that level on a consistent basis. Yeah, every now and then we might choose that route. But like you've heard the expression, even a broken clock is right twice a day. To live there 24/7, to that to be the consistent pattern of your life, I'm telling you, it doesn't take the help of God. It takes the life of God in you and through you to accomplish that on a consistent basis. There's so much I want to say more about this, but for the sake of time, let me close just by telling you a story. One of the first Christian books I ever read. I was thinking about this week. First Christian book. I think it might be the first book. See, I didn't read before I became a Christian. I really didn't. So those of you who are teachers here, don't think less of me. When you assigned a book report, I'd go to Blockbuster. I'd rent the movie. I'd take the test. I just could not stand to read. When I became a Christian, however, there became a desire within me. I wanted to learn. I wanted to know. And that came through reading. My dad was given a book by Chuck Swindoll. And I got that book from him, and I started reading. It was called The Quest for Character. An old, old book. At least from my standards. There's a story in that book about a guy by the name of Teddy Stollard. I remember reading that as a 16-year-old boy, thinking to myself, wow. And being so touched and being so moved. And even today, now, 17 years later, I'm telling you the story that touched me so long ago. A story about a hero. Didn't start off this way. Her name is Miss Thompson. Miss Thompson, she taught elementary school. And she'd stand before her class every year as she did the previous years. And she would give the students the same line. She says, my name is Miss Thompson, and I'll be your teacher. And I want you to know I love you. And I love you all the same. Well, that sounded good, but that wasn't true. See, Miss Thompson, she was like every other teacher. Miss Thompson, she had a propensity to those who were more well-behaved and those who were more inclined to learn and those who were more engaged. She had favorites. She also had people in her class that were disengaged. They didn't care. They were disruptive. They were the hard to love. They were the porcupines. And there was one boy who fit that description very well. His name was Teddy. Teddy Stollard. He dressed differently. He smelled differently. He was not engaged. He didn't seem to care. Sometimes disruptive. Miss Thompson admitted that sometimes in grading the papers, she would find pleasure in the answers that he got wrong. She would find pleasure in marking those with an X and grading that paper as though she were getting some type of vindication. Christmas time came. And what happens in elementary school is little kids bring their Christmas gifts to their teachers. And the teacher, Miss Thompson, she got there and she opened each one with glee and thankfulness and making much of it. And then she came across this brown paper bag wrapped in scotch tape. And it said, "To Miss Thompson, from Teddy Stollard." And she opened that up, and there was a bottle, half used, of old perfume, and a pearl necklace with half the pearls missing. And all the classes started giggling, and they started laughing, and ha 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 ha, look at that. And Miss Thompson at least had her wits about her, and turned it around and said, "Smell this beautiful perfume." The class taking their cues, they said, "Ooh," and "Ah." All the kids that day, as they were leaving, Teddy stayed behind. Teddy came into Miss Thompson and said, "Miss Thompson, you smell like my mom. And her necklace looks pretty on you as well." Teddy left, and Miss Thompson began going through Teddy's records, and what she found broke her. First grade record, Teddy shows promise, his work and his attitude, but poor home situation. Second grade, Teddy could do better, mother seriously ill, receives little help from home. Third grade, Teddy is a good boy, but too serious, a slow learner. Mother died last year. Fourth grade, Teddy, very slow, but behaved. Father shows no interest. That day, Miss Thompson got on her knees, and she asked God to forgive her. And she asked God to give her a new heart and a new perspective to love everyone and to do it just the same. And so when those kids came back to school, they came back not only to a new season, they came back to a new teacher, Miss Thompson. So look, the same on the outside, but on the inside, something was changed. Something was different in Miss Thompson. And Miss Thompson, she began loving those kids, truly loving them, no strings attached. And she especially began loving those who were hard to love, and especially she began loving Teddy Stollard. A marked improvement, dramatic improvement through that year. As a matter of fact, where Teddy was the lowest in the class as far as grades and scoring, performance, she was able to bring him up, for he was with the rest of his class and had surpassed some of them. Teddy went on from her class. By the end of the year, is ready for a new class. Mrs. Thompson didn't hear from Teddy for a long time. Then one day she received a note. "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know that I would be graduating second in my class. Love, Teddy." 4 years later, another note. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me that I'd be graduating first in my class, and I wanted you to be the first to know. The university hasn't been easy, but I liked it. Love, Teddy." 4 years later, "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stollard, MD. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know, and I'm getting married next month, the 22nd to be exact. I want you to come and sit where my mother would have sat if she were still alive today. You are the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Teddy." Miss Thompson went to that wedding. She sat where Teddy's mother sat. She deserved to sit there. She had done something for Teddy that Teddy would never forget. Nor would she. I wonder, who's the Teddys around you? Who's the Teddy Stollards around you? The people that are hard to love, and the people that are kind of porcupine-ish in their ability, so maybe even to receive what you really in your heart want to give. I wonder the hero that lies in you that someone's waiting to meet. I wonder what it would look like in your life personally to live unselfishly. My wife's still wondering what that would look like to be true in me. Your spouse might be wondering what it would look like to be in you. What would our homes look like? What would our church look like? What would the body of Christ, we the representative of Christ on earth today, to Lebanon, Missouri, what would we look like if we chose to be somebody's hero? To be, or to do nothing from selfish ambition. Nothing from empty conceit, but with humility of mind, thinking others better than ourselves. Not just looking out for our own wants. Hey, this is what I want. This is what I expect from church. This is what the church ought to do for me. But no, you have the mentality, I'm not coming here to see what I can get from this place. I'm coming here to see what I can give to this place. And through this place to my community, and through this place to my world. Wonder what that kind of church would look like. What if selfishness was stabbed in the heart and it stopped pumping? And what if selflessness reigned supreme? What would we look like? And listen, how bright would we shine? Because if you go down in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, do nothing or do everything without grumbling. See, when you're selfless and choose selflessness, you're not considering yourself, so therefore you're not complaining, you're not grumbling. And the Bible says, if you skip on down to verse 15, you will shine like the stars in the universe. Wonder if that not only took place in you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me. What if it took place in us as an entire body? What if a revival swept through this church? Of selfless living, selfless giving, considering others better than ourselves. How bright would that light be? And what difference would that make in our community? Want to be a hero? I do. I think you do too. Live selflessly. Mothers, they give a real good picture of what that looks like. But it's not just left for mothers. Let's pray. Father, thank you.